Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, The Game online at thegamenashville.com. We are hanging out today. Floyd, I have got to get something off my chest. I am already upset. It is literally 2 o'clock, and I'm already fired up about something that I just want to get off my chest.
We're just getting started here.
I know, and we have a humongous show, tons of things to get to. We got Titans to get to today. We got Vols to get to today. We got LaVar Ball to get to today. We've got Ask the GM to get to today.
There you go.
Scott Hartnell going to join us, the former Predator, newest Predator going to join us at 2:45 today. But I'm already fired up. Already fired up. So I turn on TV and I watch the sports. And for all you Wimbledon people out there, and I support Wimbledon and everything, but you all can go have Wimbledon. I don't care about Wimbledon. So to me, I turn on the shows and I'm listening and I'm one of the big topics right now in the sports world is NBA free agency, right? Mm-hmm. So people are, Gordon Hayward's going to Boston, and then Miami re-signed or signed Deion Waiters, and this team's going to, and Golden State's going to this and that. Now, have you ever gone to the grocery store and seen the cookies, and it's sugar-free cookies? And you think, sugar-free, that must be good for you. And then you read all of those books that tell you, by the way, sugar-free might as well just mean that they're worse for you. I mean, it might as well say worse for you. I'm sitting here watching these shows, and they're breaking down every move of NBA free agency, and everyone's and I'm looking at this thinking, the NHL free agency, which almost nobody's talking about around the country, but the NHL free agency is infinitely more important than the NBA free agency. And yet, the NBA free agency, people look at this, Boston picks up Gordon Hayward, and everyone's like, oh, now they've got Gordon Hayward. They were in the Eastern Conference Final last year. Are they going to beat LeBron James? Who's going to play in the NBA Finals next year? I will give you the cliff notes to the NBA season. It will be the Warriors versus whatever team LeBron's on. I assume it's the Cavs. That's going to be the NBA Finals next year. The NBA free agency just doesn't matter. And yet people want to talk about it, and people want to care about it, and people want to. And it's just gotten me fired up to the point that I'm like, you people are all being hoodwinked.
They have done a great job of taking the NBA free agency this time of year and replacing the regular season and the first little bit of the playoffs. Nobody watches the regular season. Nobody watches the first couple of rounds of playoffs. Get to the final, everybody watches it. It's a big deal, gigantic ratings. And then they get to this time of year where free agency is a gigantic. I mean, people talking about it for – people have been talking about it for over a week and a half now. I mean, just every time a guy gets signed, it's blown out of proportion and everybody's talking about – and don't forget, so-and-so did this and then, you know, and they could run down the whole thing again.
I'm watching the hockey stuff. You can win and lose the Stanley Cup in free agency. Like the moves you make on those days, the trades and the – you can win or lose the Stanley Cup there. Chicago has totally changed their roster around, and they brought the band back together. They brought in Brandon Saad, and they brought in Patrick Sharp, and they brought those guys back to make one last go at it. And, like, I look at Chicago, and I think they're a contender to win the Cup next year. The Chicago Blackhawks could win the Stanley Cup. The NBA – so-and-so signed 8 years, $79 million, and it's some guy who sucks on some team that has no chance of winning anything. Nothing.
That's the beauty of only having to sign two or three guys. You can pay them a ton of money. Because, and especially with the NBA and their cap rules, I mean, you can spend off the charts.
The NBA is, I think, I find so many things wrong about it, but for anyone who buys into the NBA free agency, unless it is LeBron or Durant, or the one big story, the one big thing that I kind of took away from this free agency stuff was when Curry re-signed with Golden State. Not that we thought Curry was going to leave, but just to see that he re-signed, because Curry is one of the six guys in this league that matters. Like, people are getting excited because Houston has made some big trades, right? Like, Houston has traded for Chris Paul, and they added somebody else, and now they're going to try to go get Carmelo. Houston's not going to be Golden State. Don't worry about it. I'm giving you the cliff notes of the NBA now. The NHL, You can win or lose the Stanley Cup in free agency. Nobody talking about it. The NBA, nothing is going to change, and everybody's talking about it. The Gordon Hayward signing, that's been the biggest signing of free agency, right?
It could have been, yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not counting Curry and Durant re-signing because we knew they were going to re-sign.
Right.
So Gordon Hayward was the biggest free agent, and Colin Cowherd said it best. Listen to how the teams in the league that matter feel about Gordon Hayward signing with the Celtics, who were in the Eastern Conference Final last year.
You know what we're all saying today about Gordon Hayward? Eh, good for Gordon Hayward. He's a good guy. I'll get 22 a night, and they'll win some games in Boston. People get angry at what they fear. Nobody in Cleveland today fears anything. Nobody in Golden State fears anything. Nobody in Houston fears anything. I know that Gordon Hayward's a good player and not a superstar.
So there you go. Nobody in Golden State cares. Nobody in Cleveland cares. And I'm listening to this, and I see people that are just so excited about NBA free agency. And I heard today somebody was talking about, hey, did you see Dion Waiters re-signed with the Heat? I'm like, the Heat still play? I thought they stopped playing. When LeBron James left, I thought the Heat were out of the league. I thought they were done playing. I haven't seen or heard from the Heat since. I mean, oh, man, it's so infuriating to me to see all the coverage of the NBA free agency, knowing that none of this is going to have an effect on the actual game, make it more interesting next year, or make me want to watch more next year.
Well, the part that's interesting about the NBA is how they can literally go through the regular season with only those really, really staunch NBA fans knowing what's going on. And then when they get to the latter part of the playoffs and get to this time of year, everybody's paying attention. I mean, if they paid attention like this to the regular season, I mean, their ratings would be off the charts. But nobody does. Nobody watches it. And then we get to this time of year, and I'll tell you what, it blows up.
I think the big key to all of this is that, first off, we know a lot of these guys because they play college basketball. So you kind of already know the guys. Like Gordon Hayward played in the national championship game at Butler. So you kind of already know some of these guys, even though I haven't watched a Utah Jazz game with him since he was at Butler in that national championship game. But the other side, too, is basketball is such a simple game to understand and follow.
Well, so many people play it.
Yeah, but even
recreationally.
But even if you don't play it recreationally and you just start watching, I mean, how hard is it to understand how you play basketball?
Yeah.
You put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, and dribble it down, shoot.
And you try to stop the other team from putting the ball in the basket.
Right.
Whereas hockey, for example, this guy's going to be a good second-pair defenseman. He's not a first-pair defenseman, but he's a good second. He's going to be great on the penalty kill, and he's going to be – so you kind of have to educate a little bit on hockey before you can get into it. And I don't know what you do if you're hockey because I'm not sure you can make your game less complicated. But that's, I think, one of the big differences, too, is literally anybody can watch basketball. And basically, on a recreational level, to your point, anybody can play basketball.
I think anybody can play. And, you know, in my opinion, the best athletes in the world are basketball players. And so you can watch them. This is the reason that that basketball shoes, that all these guys have these, you know, $500 million basketball shoe deals, because you can watch LeBron wearing those shoes and you can go right down to the athletic store and buy those exact shoes and put them on and you look just like him. The shoes are exact. It's the only sport where you really do that.
That's why I got my Big Baller brand shoes.
Yeah, that's why a guy like the Big Baller brand, I mean, those can sell because the kid can see them. Go down to the store, buy them, put them on, look exactly the same.
Now, let me just state for the record, I did not buy $495 shoes.
I didn't expect that you did.
I did not buy Big Baller brand shoes. But I get the point you're making there. I think there's some of that to it, but I feel like if you are somebody that has sat by the TV or you have, you know, turned on the TV and you have watched a breakdown of NBA free agency, let me just state for the record, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. You're wasting your time. It's like somebody that's on a diet that comes up to you and says, I ate a salad today for lunch. Really? What was on the salad? Ranch dressing. Okay. What'd you eat for dinner? A burger and fries. Okay. That's the NBA. This free agency, it means nothing. It's eating a salad for lunch. It's entertaining. It's more competitive for the teams. You know, a guy has five teams he might go to. We don't know who's going to win of those five teams that might sign the guy.
Right.
Whereas when they actually play basketball, we know who's going to win. So it to me is, I can't believe the people that get in to that are in on the NBA free agency and no one in on the NHL free agency. And I'm looking at the NHL free agency and I'm like, whoa. So that's my opening take. I'm just fired up at all the people that just seem to care about NBA free agency. It's people. It means nothing. There's not one move, unless Durant had gone somewhere else, that would have made a difference. I'm just trying to help y'all out there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in today. Tons of stuff on the docket. 615-737-1025. Plus, some ridiculous takes, but a system that has got to be changed. We will get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Draymond Green after Game 7 didn't call his mom. He didn't call his he called Kevin Durant. He told KD, guess what he told him? Told KD LeBron took his lunch money, ate his lunch, and made Clay and Steph watch. Mm. KD said, he did that? What you want me to do? He said, if you come down here, we'll jump him and we can get him. That's how they did it. Took four to take him down. They jumped LeBron, Skip. He was coming to an Oracle and they jumped him.
That was from Undisputed with Skip and Shannon today on FS1. The NBA free agency is so bad and so pointless that those are the type of takes we're getting off of NBA free agency. Nothing's going to change. It's going to be the Cavs and the Warriors, and the Warriors are going to win again. I'm just telling all of you right now, that's what's going to happen. So I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be honest. And yet people love this NBA free agency stuff.
Oh, they love it.
You want to hear, by the way, from the Hall of Fame of just ridiculous takes? You ready for another one?
Okay.
This came from Skip Bayless today on the same show. So the Heat have re-signed Dion Waiters. Do you know who Dion Waiters is?
I know the name.
Okay, so Dion, he went to the Cavs, and LeBron hated him. He took too many shots, so they sent him off, and they brought in J.R. Smith, who takes, I think, just as many shots. But so they get rid of Dion Waiters, and now he's supposedly on the Heat. So he re-signed with the Heat. Here was Skip Bayless's take on this today.
Shannon Sharp, I have news for you. The Heat are coming for the King. The Heat are coming for the King because South Beach is about to take its talents, I think, to the conference finals and to Cleveland in reverse of what happened when LeBron went to Miami. So I think there could be some revenge here because I believe that right here, right now, the second best team in the East is the Miami Heat.
Okay, so how do you feel about that? You think the Heat, who once again, I thought the Heat were out of the league. I thought when LeBron left, they stopped playing basketball. They closed the stadium. And they only had, you know, Garth Brooks concerts. And apparently, the Heat still play basketball. And Skip says they've got a shot to beat LeBron in the East.
They have. They're in the East. There are a lot of people that think they have a shot now. I mean,
do you think a lot of people
Boston,
have a shot?
Boston thinks they have a shot.
Do you think Boston has a shot?
I think they do.
I don't. Come on.
I think Cleveland has a chance of collapsing. I really do.
Just because of how dumb the owner is.
Because, yeah, the owner's going to destroy the club.
And this takes me to my other point, and we'll get right to the calls in a second, but this takes me right to the other point about the NBA that drives me crazy that I love so much more about the NHL. And that is, in the NHL, the salary cap is $75 million. And if you go over the salary cap, you got to trade guys away and get people to take things from you in order to clear that cap space. You sign a guy to a contract, a five-year contract, and he stinks, that's on you. Sorry. And there's no way to do it unless you just give somebody away, like the Predators just gave away Colin Wilson over the weekend. And that's the number. And in the NBA, they have all these salary cap rules that are like, well, if they sign him with his bird rights and the mid-level exception, they can take on this guy at the veteran minimum salary, but he's still going to make $18 million, and they can still get this. Look at Golden State. You should not be able to, in a salary capped league, like a salary cap is to keep you from having Golden State's team. And yet, they have their team. And this is, to me, I just think the salary cap and the whole, the NBA salary cap, just make it a hard cap and say this is it, and you will have interesting games and interesting teams, and then we'll do it.
I think because the stars are so big in the NBA, they're so important, the NBA's come up with all these exception rules to allow a team to keep all of these stars if they can get them all aligned. You know, if they get them aligned, they're playing well and no problems, and they want to continue with this team, then there are, you know, a whole handful of exceptions that will give you a chance to do that.
I mean, is that not ridiculous? You're a GM. I mean, look at all these rules in the NBA that allow you to sign guys and sign and trade and mid-level exception and bird rules, and I don't even know them. But I just think it's ridiculous. It's like, well, they've got to cut 13 guys, but if they can trade him and get this draft pick and then a sign and trade there, plus his veteran minimum bird right, then they've got – just tell me, hey, it's $100 million, and if you pay $101 million, then you got to get under $100 million.
Well, they have the thing that's interesting and unique. I mean, basketball obviously is making a ton of money, because they just keep signing these guys. I mean, they're up to, what was it? What's Curry's? $40 million a year going to make.
And this is how bad it is.
So, I mean, you imagine you've got $40 million on him, and you've got a couple other guys that you have signed or have to sign.
I think it's $20 million. And maybe,
was it $200 for 5 years?
Oh, I thought it was, no, $200 for 5 years. Okay, yeah, you're right. It is $40
million. Yeah.
And think about this. Like, as far as the NBA and those players are concerned, the NBA is getting like $1.4 billion from ESPN, $1.2 billion from Turner for the games, and ESPN's had to fire a bunch of people because they gave the NBA all that money, and the NBA's, you know, not giving it back to them. Let's go to your phones. Mike, get us started today at 615-737-1025. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
So first, a couple comments. First one, I don't like where you're coming from with saying that there's no fun in paying attention to the NBA free agency.
I didn't say there was no fun in it. I just said there's no purpose in it.
Well, okay, no purpose, and I'm okay with that. But, you know, that's akin to like saying, well, let's not pay attention to the NFL draft because more than likely the Patriots are going to win, okay? Well, there's no fun in that. Second, what other farm league is there to pay attention to? I mean, nobody cares about college baseball. Nobody cares about college hockey. I mean, in basketball, so relatable. I mean, everybody, no matter how poor you are, what neighborhood you grew up in, you grew up playing basketball, and, you know, you're always going to watch March Madness every time. And so those guys are relatable to the point where you can see some past heroes from, you know, Sweet 16 and those.
Oh, no, I'm in total agreement with you on that. I think the fact that college basketball, that people like college basketball, I appreciate your call, Mike, the fact that people like college basketball certainly helps the NBA as opposed to some of the college on these other sports, because, and you know who else this is an indictment of? The fact that NBA free agency is so popular right now. Is this not a total indictment of baseball? You're playing real games, baseball, and everyone rather talk about where Dion Waiters is going to go play.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, again, you know, regular season baseball is like regular season NBA. I mean, you know, who cares? And it's, and you know, it's. I think there are a lot of sports that are trending that way, which is not a great way to go. But I mean, that's kind of the way it's working out.
Let's go to Adam, who's up next on the show today. What's up, Adam?
You there?
Yeah, go ahead. You're on
the
air.
All right, man. I got a couple things, man. I agree with you about the NBA and how boring it is. Like, growing up, I watched no hockey, and I watched a lot of NBA, and now I don't even like watching the finals. And Charles Barkley's coming out and saying how boring it is, and you got a problem, but I have a solution that's going to fix it all. And, yeah, I think I'm going to propose, I'll write this letter, that if you score 30 points or more a game, I think, number one, you should either have to come in drunk or, like, wear some glasses.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. I'm just going to – like, I thought it was going to be, like, a legitimate suggestion. Like, okay, we make a hard cap here. We don't allow this or that. Come in drunk. Okay, I'm just going to let you go. That take is like Skip Bayless's take earlier today that the Miami Heat are going to challenge Cleveland next year in the East, and almost or your take of that Boston might challenge Cleveland, I think is pretty
Boston
bad too.
Or San Antonio,
but San Antonio's in the West.
Well, San Antonio, but I mean they're going to compete for whatever, you know, to get to the playoffs. I mean, get to the finals.
No, I'm out on San Antonio. I'm out. I think the Warriors are just going to walk there. And if there's any team, I don't believe Houston's going to be any good, but they traded for Chris Paul, and they're going to get Carmelo Anthony.
I like San Antonio more than I like Houston.
I'm out on San Antonio. No Duncan. Parker's old. Ginobili's old. Now, Kawhi Leonard did get hurt, though, last year. And
he finds
a way. Up by like 25, and Kawhi Leonard got hurt in game one against Golden State, which Skip constantly tweets about. But I would say, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to take Warriors and Cavs in the final, and I'll give you every other team in the league.
Oh, okay.
Would you take that?
Sure.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You think there's going to be two other teams in the Cavs and
no,
the Warriors?
No, you said every other. I mean, I think the Warriors would be there, but I think the Cavs are a little shaky.
Ian, so, well, I'll give you the
I'll
field
take everybody
in that regard.
Else.
I'm with Floyd.
If how?
Just one team? You never know.
No, I do know. In basketball,
LeBron
that's the one sport
down,
where you do know.
LeBron could go down the second game of the year.
He won't.
Oh, okay.
He's never gone down like that.
Okay.
Like Sam Hunt. He ain't going out like that.
Okay.
No, I am telling you right now, it's going to be Cleveland versus Golden State. And I don't want to ruin anything for anybody, but I'm just telling it how it is. I'm just trying to be realistic. Well, we know in basketball. Who's going to be in the finals? Well, I shouldn't say we. I know in basketball who's going to be in the finals. What about another sport? Because there is a team who I think we should be talking about with the finals for next year. But we're not. And it's not basketball. I'll explain that next. You're listening to Jared and the GM live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the show. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Scott Hartnell, Predators forward, former Preds forward, new Preds forward, going to join us coming up next in about 15 minutes or so. And GM, do you want to discuss regular season NHL hockey? Or what's your theory next season for the Preds in the regular season?
As far as I'm concerned?
Yes.
Get me to the playoffs, baby.
The same it was at the end of last year.
I mean, I don't think the regular season is, whatever happens, happens. As long as we make top 16, get to the playoffs, that's where I want to be.
Baby. And so the reason I bring that up is because, you know, I'm looking at the Preds next year and the moves they made, Bonino and Hartnell and Alexi Emelin and et cetera, and I'm starting to think, okay, are they going to get back to the Cup next year? And that's all I'm thinking about. And we talked about what would be the biggest story next year in Nashville sports, and it was, in my mind, whether or not the Preds defend the Western Conference or they do like the Royals did in baseball a couple years ago, where they get back to the championship and they win it this time, like the Warriors have done in the past. And so I'm wondering right now where we sit, can we talk about the Preds in the Stanley Cup Final? Can we talk about it next year and say, hey, is this team good enough to win the Cup Final? Should we be thinking Cup Final? Can we talk about these things? Because last year, I didn't even let us talk on the show about Stanley Cup Final until they beat St. Louis. And even then, it was like, okay, now they got to get past Anaheim. And it was a war with Anaheim. So is it fair to sit here and say, okay, let's talk Stanley Cup Final next year? The Preds need to make it, or they should be in the discussion, or they should have a shot at getting there, or they should – is it fair?
I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, I think that's what the truth is. That's what you expect. You know, you're expecting them to get back and you're expecting them to win it. Now, what are the chances of that? You know, they may not be great. I don't know what the percentages are in NHL, but I assume they're like other sports and it's hard. I mean, it is really, really hard. But they were there, played very, very well. And I would have to say that most fans would tell you that's what they're going to expect, you know, in their heart. Now, are they understanding enough to know how hard it is and that, in fact, 1,000 things could happen that would affect that. You hope they are. But, I mean, that's the mountain that you climb. You know, that's where you are, I think. And it doesn't matter what sport, doesn't matter who you are. If you get to, you know, the top of the hill, that you're expected to be back there next year.
Here's what former NHL GM Brian Lawton said about the position the Preds are in. This was on the NHL Network during the free agency special.
There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to get back where they are, and yet they're in the West, so all bets are off. But as far as the quality of the team, in my mind, they're absolutely in the top two or three teams in the West. Now that they add Bonino and essentially flip him for Colin Wilson, that's a positive. Colin Wilson's the younger player, and Colin Wilson had some really good moments in Nashville. But I'd say the erraticness probably wore on the coaching staff there a bit. The lack of consistency, that won't be a problem with Nick Bonino. You bring in Hartnell, you've got the same D-back. Pecorini's capable of duplicating certainly what he did last year. And I'd say the Nashville Predators are in a really great position.
Yep, I think we can talk about it. I think we can talk about it. I think we legitimately at this point, we can talk and we can say 2018 Stanley Cup Final. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to go there. Because, as you like Brian Lawton said there, the two or three teams in the West. But I'm looking at it right now. You know, before with the Preds, it was have a good regular season, get to the playoffs, and then see if you can make some noise in the playoffs. Now I'm looking at it like, okay, get to the Western Conference Final, then see if you can get back to the Stanley Cup Final, then see if you can win it. Not just some, you know, hey, let's see how they do. Let's see if it's a good year. Let's see. I mean, it's like you said, once you get to the mountaintop, people expect you to get back there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been part of a team. My freshman year when I was at Louisville with the women's basketball team, we went to the national championship game. And I will never forget the next year because we lost our top two players to the WNBA and our third best player, Tore ACL, was out for the year. And we went 14-18. And the people just thought that the fact that we were bad that year, like, it was almost like we committed a crime.
Mm-hmm.
We were without our top three players.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And we were significantly worse to start the season the next year. We went on the road to Dayton. And I'll never forget Coach before the first game telling the team, you are the defending national runner-up. And everybody's thinking that every time you walk in the gym. We didn't have that type of roster, but that's what they think. The difference is the Preds are the defending Western Conference champion. And they have the roster. They have the team, supposedly, as Brian Lawton said right there, top two or three teams in the West, which means I think it's totally fair to have an expectation even throughout the season. And this is what the regular season is going to mean to me. When they get out there during the regular season, I expect to see a team that should comfortably make the playoffs. I don't care if it's the one seed or the two seed or the four seed or the eight seed or the I don't care.
Just not 16.
Well, I mean, I was talking eight as, you know, in the West.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I would prefer them to not do that. But I would not say that the Predators, like, I'm not going to look at it during the season. If they lose a Tuesday night on the road at Calgary, I'm not coming on the air the next day and throwing a fit. You know, it's just not going to happen. Because this team showed last year that those things don't matter. Even the matchups. Play Chicago. You can beat Chicago. You've shown me you can beat Chicago. You've shown me you can beat Anaheim the last 2 years. I wouldn't like to play San Jose because I think if San Jose gets it together, they're pretty, pretty good. But you've shown that you can play those type of teams. The regular season games that I care about, that I'm really going to be, you know, glued to the TV for next year, when they play Edmonton, I'm going to watch that because they only play them two or three times a season. And I think Edmonton might be the biggest team in the way of the Predators and getting back to the Stanley Cup Final. So those games will be important. But, I mean, every game I watch next year, I'm going to watch thinking about, okay, how is this going to help the Predators for the playoffs and help them get to the Stanley Cup Final? And that first round series, and I don't know who it will be against or who it could be against, but I'm going to expect them to win the first round series because that's what happens when you have the team that they have and you have the season that they had last year and the buzz and the excitement and the energy, and it's all about talking about getting back. When you were with the Titans, you guys were the best team in football the year after you won, lost the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Were the best team, 13-3, and honestly, and I have said this, that was the best Titans team ever. that 2000 team annihilated the Dallas Cowboys on Christmas Day, locked up home field advantage. It just seemed like everything went your way that year except for the kicking game. And that's ultimately what did you in there in that Baltimore playoff game was your kicking game. But when they lost to the Ravens, when you guys lost to the Ravens, that was an epic disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas had the Titans the year before, with no Super Bowl, had they gone on the road in the divisional series, divisional round and lost to Indianapolis, people would have been upset because you want your team to win, but it wouldn't have been just this colossal failure.
It would have been a good season.
Good season, yeah. Floyd. Way to go. Hey, you know what? That was a good season. Losing to San Jose in Game 7 2 years ago, good season. What a fight by the Predators. What a great season. Losing Game 7 in the second round this year, it's not going to be a good season. It's going to be, man, how many more years do they have Pecorino? They can't waste these opportunities. And that's, I don't know if it's fair. I don't know if that's fair to say about a team or if that's just, this is the reality of how it works in sports.
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. It's not fair, but that's sports. And the truth is that, you know, if you realize how hard it is to get to the finals of whatever sport you're in, then you realize there are so many bumps that can happen along the way. An injury here, a ref's call there, a pass that bounces off of somebody's shoulder pads into another guy's arms. All of those kinds of things can cost you, even though it's fairly clear to everyone, you're a better team. Doesn't matter. Just didn't work. So, I mean, I think everybody faces that. Everybody goes through it. And there are, you know, so many things that can affect it along the way. And you hit on probably the number one, which is injuries. You know, you go through a spell where you have a bunch of injuries for whatever reason, directly, indirectly, you know, to key players, not to key players, just to a bunch of guys, all adds up.
ESPN 102.5 The Game wants you to sign up for our $5,000 home improvement contest. Go to thegamenashville.com and register to win $2,500 of furniture and bedding from Atlantic Bedding and Furniture, along with your own spa valued at $2,500 from Four Winds Spas. It's brought to you by Atlantic Bedding and Furniture, your style, your budget, Four Winds Spas. Relax, you've earned it, and your friends at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Former Pred and now one of the newest members of the Predators, Scott Hartnell, will join us coming up next. We'll get into how much he's thinking about the Stanley Cup final, because clearly when you join the team that played in it last year, that has to be part of the reason why. It has to be on your mind. We'll get to that. It's coming up next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the show. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I've got Scott Hartnell's stats pulled up right in front of me. He was with the Preds from age 18 to 24. He now returns to the Predators at age 35. My guess is Scott Hartnell is probably feeling a lot different about the Predators and his life at 35 years old than he did when he first came to the Predators at 18 years old.
I would say that's a safe statement, yes.
But I do think that it's pretty cool that you have a guy coming back to the team when he was on the Predators from 2000 to 2007, that was when a lot of the things were, there were a lot of question marks about the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Now you look at the franchise and we know those question marks have been erased. And obviously that's got to be a big deal. And Scott Hartnell joins us now, new Predators forward. So Scott, how exciting is it for you to be back? I mean, you left here, you were 24. Now you're not 24, so it has to be exciting to be coming back.
You can say my age. I'm okay with it. No. I'm very, very excited. It was a whirlwind couple days being bought out, and you know, Nashville expressing some interest, and you know, it was a no-brainer for me. I love Laviolette. I love the city. Just watching the Preds in the finals all the way through the playoffs, the city was just absolutely electric. So I'm excited to be a part of that team. And you know, I'm sure it's a seamless fit and get in there and do what I do best.
Now, you obviously know David Poile and you know Peter Laviolette because you played for him in Philly for all those years. But what was the conversation like when you had been bought out in Columbus and they were interested? What was the discussion like?
Well, it was pretty straightforward and pretty simple, actually. It was we expressed interest to them that we would want to come there. That was my top team on the list, obviously. And you know, they called back, you know, the morning of July 1st and said, here's the deal. And you know, I talked to Mr. Poyle and Lavi, you know, right afterwards. And you know, there's a big opportunity for me to fit in there, you know, play some power play time. And you know, it's on me to come in into camp in shape, ready to go. You know, I know it's a young man's league right now, and there's a lot of great young players. But you know, I still believe that I can play with them and you know, be in front of the net, causing some havoc, just playing Scott Hartnell hockey. And you know, I think it'll be a good thing for that team.
Scott, when you you were here under different ownership first time around, and now you're back. Actually, Poyle and some guys are the same, but ownership and a lot of things that have happened have changed. Can you sense a big difference between what it was before and what it is now?
Well, I just look at the city, you know, coming in on the road in Columbus and then in Philly the last couple of years there. It's just amazing how the city has grown. You know, the big convention center, you know, it's just a wild place to be. And, you know, for people to visit, family to come in, they're not even going to recognize the Nashville anymore. So it's just it's exciting to be there. You know, as for the hockey team, you know, obviously the in-game experience, you know, just watching it on TV, like I said, this spring was just an unbelievable experience to watch on TV, and I can't imagine, you know, how loud it was and how special it was during that finals run there.
How much do you expect your role to change from first time around till now?
Well, I think I've learned a lot over my career. You know, I was, you know, obviously young, coming in at 18, learning the game, learning, you know, how to be a pro, and you know, now I know exactly what I need to do to be effective out there. I know how to, you know, I used to run around and, you know, try and get big hits and fight. And, you know, now the style of game is almost obsolete. So obviously a physical part of my game is important for me to, you know, get in on the forecheck, bang guys, get in front of the net, cause havoc for the goalies. And, you know, I think I've got added a scoring touch, I guess maybe a somewhat of a finesse side of my game over my career after I left Nashville. So I'm just, like I said, it's, you know, when I get talking about the team, when I get talking about being back there, you know, I get excited. I get these juices going. So it's going to be a great time.
Predators forward Scott Hartnell's our guest here on Jared and the GM. And Scott, kind of when you said your camp wanted to come back to Nashville and you guys reached out to the Predators. And when you decided that you wanted to, how much of it was about the city and what you knew of Nashville and what it had become? And how much of it was the success they had last year and the possibility to know that you could get back to the Stanley Cup final?
Well, I think the most part for me is that I want to win, right? I've played in this league for 16 years and, you know, been close once, obviously, with Laviolette in Philadelphia and just that, you know, being so close, just like Nashville was last year, you want to get back there again. And it's not like you can snap your fingers and, you know, fast forward next season and it's going to be easy and you're going to win the first few rounds. And, you know, it's not easy at all. It's hard work. And you know, I haven't been back since. And, you know, that's one thing that I'll bring to that team is you know, it's not going to be easy, you know, going through teams like Anaheim, you know, like Chicago. It's going to be an absolute dogfight. So, and as for, you know, their makeup of the team, you know, you start in goal with Pekka, a top-notch goalie that's been unbelievable his whole career and, you know, bar none, probably the best defense in the National Hockey League. And you know, they got some great skill up front, some fast little forwards, and, you know, it's built to have success in this league right now. And you know, I'm glad to be a part of it. But, you know, like I said earlier, it's not going to be an easy breezy, let's get in the playoffs and coast into the finals. It's going to be a grind. It's going to be hard work. There's, you know, a lot of workouts between now and camp starts and throughout the season. So as long as everyone knows that, we'll have some success.
Scott, you have played for a long time, played for a high level in a physical game with a physical temperament. Is there something special you do physically to take care of yourself to be able to do that for so long?
you know, I've learned a lot over the years too. You got to take care of yourself off the ice, and probably the last, you know, 5 or so years, it's you know, you can't run and gun with the young guys anymore. You got to take care of yourself off the ice. As for training, I've totally changed my training the last 3-4 years, and I've never felt better, you know, my body wise. I used to, you know, ache and hips ache and shoulders ache, and now I've totally kind of 180 my training. So I feel great coming into camp, and I'm not just burnt out, you know, and you build that throughout the season. So I feel like I've turned a corner that way, and like I said, I feel good, I feel great, and ready to roll.
Scott Hardinal, our guest, last one for you before we get you out of here. Peter Laviolette, obviously, you said probably the first answer you had that you loved playing for him in Philadelphia. We know that. How much of what the Preds have accomplished, 3 playoffs in 3 years, how much of that is because of Peter Laviolette, and what does he do that makes the team more successful?
Well, he comes to the rink every day with an excitement to coach, and when you have that excitement from your leader, it's super contagious, and it just filters throughout, you know, the training staff, right through the players, you know, and then into the crowd and into the city. And, you know, he's the way that he teaches his systems, you know, the left wing walk, I'm sure they still play that. His offense, you know, he doesn't script it all out, but he's very passionate about, you know, getting pucks behind the net, using the defense, you know, getting their shots through. You got PK just loading Bahams up front from the point, Ellis, those guys. So he's just very passionate, and, you know, when it comes to getting guys prepared for games, getting excited, he's got some bang-on speeches, and, you know, you'd run through a brick wall for this guy. So, you know, it's definitely you need a great coach to lead everyone, and he's definitely that guy.
We saw those speeches on NBC and on Showtime, you know, in their
exactly,
entirety there.
Exactly.
Scott Hardinal, our guest. Scott, former Predators forward, new Predators forward, joining us on the show. We really appreciate it, as always. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. Thanks, all.
Yep, Scott Hardinal, the newest former Nashville Predator on the team once again. And I tell you,
I always love to hear guys that have played as long as he has and had the success he has and playing the style that he has as they mature. You know, what's the phrase you use? Run and gun. You can't run and gun anymore with the young guys. That's exactly the maturation that goes on over 17 years for a guy like that's incredible.
Well, and I just like, too, in this world of sports where there's so much posturing about, you know, do they want me? We called them and they called me. You know, like that right there is, you know, it's so much easier when you want to be somewhere and that place wants to have you.
Yeah.
Because if you don't want to be there, you're not going to be successful. And so the fact that his number one choice was Nashville and they reached out to the Predators, and I actually buy that. Like, I believe it. And when you hear that, you're like, okay, that works. And I think that's a pretty big deal. Coming up next, I got into this weird argument in the office, and I want to go over it. It's about the Predators, and I wonder if people actually believe this. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM, and it's right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.